Hello everybody, I'm George Marlin. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. In this video, I'm talking about the Malian Civil War. Now, you may not know where Mali is. Well, it's in the Sahel, so in the Sahara, a landlocked African country where almost everybody is Muslim, is south of Algeria. It's to the west of Chad. So it's to the north of Nigeria and where else? In Guinea. Let me see, the Ivory Coast, and who else is the border? Mauritania. Okay, so it's a very underdeveloped country, and that's it. Almost everybody in the country is Muslim, and it's a former French colony. So that's Mali, capital city Bamako. The population is very much concentrated in the south of the country, near the river Niger. The north of the country is really just very arid desert. And so it's a multi-ethnic, multi-linguistic country with French as the official language. And there's been a civil war going there for about 14 years now, but it's not very much reported. It's of little interest to the international media, to Western countries. It's not rich in mineral resources. It's got some yellowcake uranium, I think. I'm not sure what else. Would have a huge potential for solar power, I suppose. Anyway, but people are taking an interest. It kicked up a gear. And partly it's a fight for independence by the people of Azawad, which is the northern part of the country. And they're a distinct ethnic group by the Tuareg people. Got a slightly different phenotype from most Malians. And there have been a number of coup d'etats in this time. But, you know, they're largely sort of within the government and so on. So it's been a semi-dictatorship, an actual dictatorship for much of its history since independent from France in 1960. And France had a much closer relationship with its quantum colonies in the United Kingdom, particularly in Africa. And the French military was based in many of these countries until very recently. I think still is in some of them. And France would make no bones about intervening militarily to save a government, to topple a government, and so on. So French intelligence was very active there. And of course, there's a Malian community in France who are French citizens in some cases. Anyway, so the French military was there assisting the Malian government. Now, as for independence for Azawad, I don't have an opinion. I just don't know much about it. And I recognize that legally that territory is part of Mali and the African Union is against it. Say, no splitting. We have to accept these imperial era borders. If we start dividing, we will never stop. We'll raise Cain. It'll just so, you know, we cannot unscramble the omelet. Maybe the changes shouldn't have been made. They have been made. They're now irreversible. They have made exceptions to that about Eritrea. It was dubious whether Eritrea was legally part of Ethiopia anyway, and indeed South Sudan in 2011. But they're trying to stick to that principle for fear that the whole house of cards will tumble. But after some years, Malians decided they didn't want the French military there and told them to leave. And even the Turkish military was there. Neo-Ottomanism, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, trying to flex Turkey's muscles, be a serious power, and not just in the Middle East, you know, in the Sahel and so on. And Turkish Airlines flies them there direct from Istanbul, despite having few lens with Turkey. And then the Russian troops were invited in. I mean, some of Mali's neighbors like Chad intervened militarily to help them out. There were some United Nations troops there, but like most of the UN, what the UN does is rather hamstrung and rather hand-wringing. Okay, so some of the people that were fighting the rebels were Al-Qaeda affiliates or Islamic State and so on. They teamed up with Boko Haram, the Nigerian Islamic fundamentalist movement, obviously Nigeria's just to the south. So Wagner Group was there. Yevgeny Prigozhin even visited, you know, the guy who founded Wagner. So why? I mean, Russia will team up with Islamic extremists in its own territory, having a Shariat state, even within the Russian Federation, called Chechnya. Was one that has a very cordial relationship with the Taliban these days, demonize even very moderate Muslims if they don't go along with whatever Putin wants. But they intervene militarily. Why? For money, to try and have an informal colony, push out those wicked French. Now, Russia's very much an imperial power itself, was and is. And of course, that wasn't entirely bad. In places like Azerbaijan or Uzbekistan, there were some civilization advances because of them, and it was terrible in some other ways. So it's a very mixed record. Was a French record in Mali is almost entirely positive. And the abolition of slavery hugely spreading literacy, women's rights, human rights of all kinds, enormously advanced in the technology. But of course, it wasn't completely positive. And there are people who are still pro-French in Mali, as well as those who are Francophobes. Anyway, so you'd think that the Russians would think we need all the troops we can get for the Ukraine war. But no, they consider it important to have a foothold there. And so that's it. But the war is sort of kicked up a gear. And in recent months, the Wagner group, the former Wagner group, the Russian Africa Corps, has taken heavy casualties, is being pushed back. So that's embarrassing for them. But, you know, the Russians are stretched pretty thin. There's not very much they can do. So goodness. And no other country seems inclined to intervene. It's just not strategically important for most of these organizations. It's quite complicated. It's a real alphabet soup of organizations who are fighting. So some for Azawad, some of them are just really secular separatists, and some are not. So it's really Mouvement National pour la Libération d'Azawad. Goodness, so quite complicated, because really it's a multi-ethnic group. There are many tribes, nations, if you wish, who were just cobbled together by the French and called Mali. But you know, the African Union saying, no, we have to recognize Centra petal forces, were against centrifugal forces. We're worried about the precedent this would set. Anyway, and that's why 58 French troops were killed over a few years. They withdrew ages ago. Some of the United Nations troops likewise were killed. The Russian Afrika Korps, we're not sure. Obviously, they don't do this. And obviously, the Russian government will time say, oh, it's absolutely nothing to do with us. Just like Yevgeny Prigozhin himself. He lied and lied and lied and pretend that he'd never had any connection with a Wagner group until he boasted, yeah, I am the head of Wagner group. I was the founder of it. And he's the guy who attempted that so-called March for Justice, the attempt certainly to overthrow the Russian defense minister in June 2023, arguably to overthrow Putin. And he made that truce and then got his plane got blown up, no doubt on Putin orders, 2 months after that truce. Which just goes to show what you get if you trust Putin. I'm surprised that Wagner, that he was thick enough to actually repose any trust in a word Putin says. So that's what they've been pushed back, fighting a guerrilla campaign, widely regarded as terrorists. So is in March this year, the Russian Afrika Korps allegedly had 10 men killed and three people taken hostage. So there are Chinese people there trying to prospect for a gold mine. Some of them were taken hostage and so on. So they recognize the value of hostages. But it doesn't look like they're going to take over the whole country. Maybe they don't even want to. They just want independence for the north. But there's little sign this is going to end quite soon. But it doesn't look like that Russia's going to send any more troops there. But it's noticeable, even when the Russia's being pushed back in Ukraine, they still consider it worthwhile having at least a few hundred Afrika Korps fighters there. And obviously the government has to pay a lot for them. And they've got carte blanche, Wagner Group. They will kill anybody they want, even they know the person's civilian. They'll use the most horrific tortures. That's it. They will loot, they'll rape, they'll get away with it. They'll never be called to account by their own side. And they could uphold the most tyrannical regime imaginable, but they'll say they're counter-terrorist. So that's a little bit of what's happening there. And you can see there's been a bit of a musical chairs coup d'etat seen within the regime, partly because they're in a flat spin, because, you know, they can't contain the insurgency. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.